Another happy Saturday morning, everybody. Saturday, January 28th, 2023. It's Tom Drake's Daily Cruise and Travel News Podcast, brought to you by the Snood Factory, www.thesnoodfactory.com. Tom Drake here on board the beautiful Oceania Serena. We are in Panama City. Overnight in Panama City, I have commandeered the card room for this morning's podcast because my studio is in between other staterooms. Studio 6034 is actually a wonderful re-imaged stateroom, and the guru is nothing if not courteous. And rather than wake up my neighbors, I have commandeered the card room because I figure how many people want to play Mahjong at 5:30 in the morning on the day that they leave. Although we have 178 guests staying with us back-to-back, because on our return trip through the canal, we then go to the ABCs, Aruba, Bonaire, and Curacao, and some other places, Grand Cayman. And they're here for a 20-day voyage of exploration. Whatever. They're here to eat food. They're here for the Dover sole. They're here for the Chilean sea bass and lots of other good stuff. It is the Saturday edition of the Daily Cruise and Travel News Podcast. It is thinner because in the real world, the Saturday newspaper is thinner. That's the way it goes. During the week, it's quite fat. We get thin on the weekends. But before we get to it, though, I do have to say thanks to all the people that are giving me corrections, telling me I don't know what day it is. Thank you, Ellie. And Ellie is right. When I send out the email, there are three different places for the date on the email. And some days, I don't get all three because I'm not really good at that stuff. I talk. That's all I can do. Not even well. But anyway, I know today is Saturday, January 28th. Thanks for reminding me. And my good friend Arthur, and I do have friends. And there is a friend named Arthur. I'm not making this up. In fact, I am amazed some days that my friends are successful people. They're lawyers and presidents of companies and vice presidents of big companies, and they're attracted. Attracted, that's a bad word. Sounds like we're dating. They listen to this dreck, and they correct me. And my friend Arthur wanted me to know that you pronounce the river in California San Joaquin. San Joaquin is how you pronounce that. Thank you so much. He also wanted to, I won't say, differ with me on my story about the Norwegian Jade and Lim Kok Thay and Genting Hong Kong and the launch of the Hawaiian American cruise line. It was actually called Norwegian American when Norwegian got in bed with Daniel Inouye, senator from Hawaii, and now find out also Senator Trent Lott. There was a lot of backroom stuff going on. It's a Saturday edition. Don't have time to get into it, but I want to thank Arthur for giving me some more color to it, some more dimension to the story. Basically, a bunch of politicians got together with a bunch of business people, and they made a giant mistake. It's still operating. There is one ship operating, Norwegian America. It's a ship that sails around Hawaii. It's incredibly popular right now. You know why? Because the hotel rooms in Hawaii are like usurious. They're like armed robbery to stay in Hawaii. So people book that ship. The problem with that ship is it can only use American, U.S.-born workers and 25% green card workers, and they can't find anybody that wants to do that kind of work. In fact, I've heard a story from a guest, true story, they sailed on that because it goes around Hawaii, and they were in the room and they wanted ice, and they found their room steward and said, can we get some ice? And the guy said, I'm on break right now, but in about 15 minutes when I come back from my break. When have you ever heard when I come back from my break on a cruise ship? Only when it's a U.S. run. There you go. Thank you, Arthur. Thanks for that information. It is, I mean, that's sincerely Saturday, and I wanted to give this a name, but I don't have it yet. But so today we're going to go with, for the most part, this podcast is the heading will be, the tease line will be, do cruise line bosses get paid by the word, or use as many words as possible in order to say something that you could say with less words? Does that make sense? And I am a perfect example. I could probably make this a 5-minute podcast if I would shut up once in a while. There's that freaking duck. All right. So here, let's start with Port Everglades. The Jonathan Daniels is the CEO and port director at Port Everglades. And they're hitting us with a new logo, the Trident logo, and they're rebranding, and they're trying to make them relevant. Look, as I mentioned before, you don't really pay attention to the port in Florida too much. You'll go out of Port Canaveral, you go out of Miami, you go out of Jacksonville if you have to, you go out of Tampa, for sure you go out of Port Canaveral. Port Canaveral is becoming more and more popular because of Orlando. If you have little rugrats, you can fly into Orlando and drop $2,000 for a day at Disney, and then put them on a Disney ship or another ship. So Port Everglades is trying to make sure they get there and there. So now, They put out a press release, and they interviewed the port director. His name is Jonathan Daniels. And Johnny said, look, here's his words. The port is moving in a different direction. We are seeing diversity in an extremely strong business line. Huh? There is a great line from Seinfeld that I'm going to steal, where Jerry Stiller says to Julie Louise Dreyfus, what the hell does that mean? The port is moving in a different direction. We are seeing... Immediately, when I saw the word diversity, I thought they were doing more hiring of Haitians. I don't mean that in a bad way, but no, he means they're going in a different direction in the type of cruise ships they're getting in Fort Lauderdale. And among the diversity, and I don't think it's the right use of diversity, and I don't know much about words, but I only picture one thing when I hear that. It's the same way when I hear sustainability. I say, you know, saving the planet by Tuesday. Anyway, they're homeporting big ships. The Celebrity Beyond is there. That's a monster. You know, they have they're building the new one. It's called the Ascent. And then they're going to have the Beyond that even further. And they also have boutique vessels. I did not know this. Azamara, which is the same ship as we have here at Oceana, the one I'm sitting on, there are eight of those ships. They're now boutique vessels, according to my friend Jonathan, whatever. And the Ritz-Carlton Collection, and on and on and on. And he goes on to say, overall, and remember, this is as many words as you can use Saturday, and I'm trying to read correctly, but it is 5:30 in the morning, and I have not had coffee yet. But anyway, Jonathan, is his name Jonathan? Yeah, Jonathan Daniels. He goes on to say, overall and long term, it will be a different mix of vessels that allows us to maintain strength in our large ship program while focusing on that five-star lineup of smaller ships that are here for longer duration voyages. In other words, you got the big Greyhound with life jackets. They're doing 7-day with the Rugrats and the screaming and hollering, a wet t-shirt contest, man overboard. And then you have the little ships like Azamara, Oceana. We don't sell out of Lauderdale. We have a great little private terminal in Miami, Terminal J. But the little ships, so basically, hey, John, you got the big ships over here, and they're doing 7-day. Then you got the little ships over here. They're doing longer cruises because those are the people with a lot of bucks. Those are the people that listen to this podcast. Those are the people that have done really well in life. And then you have the 7-day where they take the mutants on. But it sounds much better the way he's describing it. And then he goes on to say, this makes sense. They're putting $35 million in updating the terminal. This is the important news. Disney is going into Port Everglades, not just Port Canaveral. They've always homeported Port Canaveral. But in 2025, they're going into Disney. That's a big deal for Fort Lauderdale. They anticipate 750,000 passengers. You know how many diapers that is? I mean, it's different with us and with the boutique vessels. It depends. But when you're rolling with Disney and Royal Caribbean and places like that, man, oh man, they go through Pampers at the Publix before that cruise starts. Also, they're exploring shore power. I always go into my Carlin voice for this stuff. And right now, there's a feasibility study because you can't just plug in. You have to have a feasibility. You know, hey, Jonathan, no kidding. We know it's feasible. It's where do you find the money? It's very expensive to go to shore power, but that's going to save the planet by Tuesday. My point of all this is I just read this stuff and I think to myself, hey, the guru could shorten it up a little bit. So the Holland America Group. Now, I don't have time to explain what the hell that is all about, but basically there was a lot of consolidation among the Carnival Corporation, and they took some cruise lines and put them under Jan Schwartz. Jan Schwartz used to be the president of Princess Cruise Lines. It's John Padgett now. She got elevated to a bigger position, and she's the president of the Holland America Group, and that has several cruise lines involved, including Holland America, Princess, Seabourn, and P&O Cruises Australia. I don't know how that works, but she's in charge of a ship 24 hours by air away from where Seattle is. But anyway, they've decided to reorganize and restructure because they have a new president of Carnival, Josh Weinstein, and they're reorganizing. And they're doing that in order... this was done according to Jan Schwartz. The changes spring, because things spring. They don't just happen. I mean, literally, when you have meetings in offices, and if I sound a little jaded about shoreside people, it's because I've been doing it close to 30 years, and the people out here never get asked their opinion. ever. And the people out here kind of know what's going on out here. But the people that work in the offices, and I don't care what cruise line you're talking about, they are detached. And these are the podcasts where the guru is putting his job on the line. But anyway, Jen Schwartz, and a very, very successful president of Princess, who got promoted by Stein Cruise. We don't have time to tell you about him. But Jen said in an interview, they've made a lot of changes at the Holland America Group. And why? The changes spring from a systematic review. And that's how it starts. Before you do anything in the cruise industry or most corporations, you must have a systematic review. And if you've ever had your system my doctor reviewed my system the last time I saw him. And I said, you do that again without sending me flowers, and we're going to have a conversation. Anyway, the changes spring from a systematic review of the shared service functions within the Holland America Group to see where scale benefits were being achieved versus whether shifting those functions back to the brands would enable faster decisions, speed to market, and flexibility. What Jan's trying to say is somebody thought it was a good idea to have all four cruise lines run by the same kind of group of people, and every cruise line is different. Every cruise line does things different. Every cruise line has different focus. Everybody's inside their lane. And now they've decided that wasn't a good idea. We need to bring it back in because, you know, I don't know Mickey Aronson, but I was around when Holland America Group, when the Carnival bought Holland America. And I know for a fact that Holland America was told, just do it. Do what you've been doing. That's why we bought you. And Holland America was for old people. Holland America had beautiful small ships and they catered to old people. I break chops about it all the time. And then there were meetings and there was a systematic review and the decision was made to go bigger because bigger would be more profitable, but it was a completely different product. And those people that used to sail Holland America and pay top dollar, there were no automatic gratuities in those days. Everybody knew to duke everybody. I saw bartenders getting $50 from everybody because they were tremendous. And then they decided we can put in automatic gratuities, we can do things differently, and they changed the brand completely. And where are those guests? They're on Oceania, because that's the level of service and the size ship that they wanted in the first place. But after a systematic review of the shared service functions, they decided we'll go bigger, and then they combined everything, and it's not the same. Every product is different, and now they've decided that under the according to Jan Schwartz, the reorganization has been driven within the group's leadership team with input from the new boss, John Swanstein. And that's what happens. It has to be driven. You can't walk it in. You can't drag it. You got to drive it. So they drove it within the group's leaders. And according to Jan Schwartz, I don't work for Holland America, so I'm pretty safe. I do work for Princess, though. According to Jan Schwartz, and by the way, if you just, you wonder, why am I listening to this? I don't know. I just find it interesting. And I've decided, somebody said once, find something you like to do and do it. You might make a dollar or two. And that's how I became a comedian. I never thought I would be doing this for 30 years out here, 28 years on ships, but I got lucky. I love doing this podcast because I read this and I start screaming because it's a simple business out here, people. We have a saying around here, the wife and I, send them home happy. Send them home happy. It's a simple process. Do everything you can to send the guest home happy. No other, it works. But everybody wants to have other driven leadership teams and supply chain issues. But according to Jan, because all of this reorganization has been driven within the group's leadership team with input from the new boss. That's what this is about. There's a new big boss. Arnold Donald has left the building. Literally left the building. He's not even on the board anymore. I'm sure that was an amicable split, but I'll tell you more about that in a minute. Anyway, according to Jan, the reason this has happened, it ties, because it has to be tied. It can't just be roped and you can't just like loosely attach it. It ties to Josh's vision of focusing on strengthening each and every brand's positioning and commercial ability, agility, and performance. He's got it. Josh has got it. Let them run their own damn cruise line. Do not get involved if you don't know what the hell you're doing. Let them run their cruise line, and if they screw up, fire them. But do not micromanage from up top. And that's one of the reasons we left Holland America, because there was a person in the office in Seattle who thought she could run the ship when it comes to entertainment. She would program it. You know the expression, doesn't know ass from elbow? Very frustrating when you're out here and you know what works and the person that's in charge doesn't, and they want to insist on putting their nose in where it doesn't belong. Josh gets it. Let them figure it out on their own. According to Jan Schwartz, Josh is really focused on who is the target market for each brand. The guru just said this. Didn't I say Carnival was going outside their lane by doing 14-day cruises? Let's see what happens. Now, they trust Carnival. My opinion, they trust her. She's running a hell of a cruise line there. She's in the news every day. She's posing with crew. And every time she's on a ship, Christine Duffy's posing with the crew. She's in the engine control room. They love her. They love her. When she walks on board, the boss is here. That's the way to do things. Anyway, he said everyone should be working on what's their target market? Who is the customer? How do we... Now, can you believe this? After all these years in the cruise industry, this is what he said. He really is focused on who's the target market for each brand, who's the customer, how do we market to them, how do we sell the product effectively, and how do we elevate the guest experience. I'm starting to think Josh Weinstein used to work on a ship, because the only way you can really understand is if you put a lot of time out here. That's exactly what everybody here goes, what are we doing here? Is that our customer? How the hell they get on here? This is the problem with MSC, and there is a problem with their price. I just saw an advertisement for MSC. You can cruise for $129 for the week. Is that your customer? Seriously? You're building billion-dollar ships that are drop-dead gorgeous, and you're selling them for $129 a week? Anyway, Jan goes on to say, I believe a lot of these organizational changes will help our brand leaders accelerate their performance. They're going to do a better job. This is Saturday. Use as many words as possible. And by the way, all of this is tied to Weinstein's larger vision for the next phase of the corporation. How about back to the beginning, Josh boy? You got it. Get it back to where it was. Carnival used to run Carnival. Holland American ran Holland American. Princess ran Princess. And then suddenly everybody wanted to put it under one umbrella, and you got one person decide they're all different. Well done, Josh. See, I saved myself. Huh? I mean, he runs everything. If anybody's going to fire me, if you ever listen to this, I'm saying, Mr. Weinstein, I think you're right. Absolutely. Too many words Saturday. I'm using too many words, by the way. I shouldn't. I could go through all the changes. They overhauled everything. And one guy was in charge of doing something for four cruise lines. And if that guy wasn't any good, he screwed up four cruise lines. Now they're breaking it up again. Speaking of Arnold Donald, what a segue. Oh, I'm at 17 minutes. Come on, this is Thin Saturday. Shut up, Tom. And it's 6 o'clock in the morning, and you're ranting and raving and talking about stuff that nobody cares about except these six people that listen, but they're all very, very successful people. I have a listenership of very, very high-quality people. When I finally sell advertising for this, I can say, listen, there's only 10 people listening total, but man, they're good 10 people. Anyway, Arnold Donald, he left. He was the big boss at Carnival Corporation. He cracks me up, this guy, because when he first got the job, and I'm sure he's a business genius, but he was never really good in the interviews, because he was interviewed in the very beginning of his tenure at Carnival Corporation, and he was blunt to the interview person and said, I really don't know what the hell I'm doing. He spent 1 year visiting with every president of every cruise line that Carnival Corporation owns, so they could tell him how it works, because he didn't know. But he was the boss. He was the chairman of the company, but he didn't know what the hell was going on. And he did a good job, especially during the pandemic. I mean, he's a numbers guy, so they got rid of 26 ships that were gas guzzlers and falling apart, and now they replace a lot of these. But when he stepped down as the CEO of Carnival Corporation, I was surprised that he stepped down from the board. He's also not on the board anymore. I don't know whose choice that was, doesn't really know. But now he's on the board of Salesforce. And Salesforce, I see this advertised. They're a leader in customer relations management technology. I could choke myself right now. All of that stuff drives me crazy. Send them home happy. Make the guest happy. Make the customer happy. Man, is it a big... I'm a comedian. You know what I have to do? I have to make them laugh. If I don't make them laugh, they can my ass. That's the bottom line here. I don't care who you're married to. If I didn't get acceptable ratings, and they're more than acceptable because I happen to know what I'm doing. I am not only the guru of the seas. I'm not the guru of comedy. I can give you three or four guys out here that are funnier than I am. But they're not married to a cruise director, so they have to fly on and off. Not that good. Anyway, Arnold Donald is now on the board. I don't know how much money you get for this. Of Salesforce, a leader in customer relationship management. management technology. Don't you just want to punch somebody? They have software, and they also have people that motivate people to use their software. But according to Arnold Donald, Salesforce is an industry innovator, disruptor, and leader. Where's that drop? What the hell does that mean? Innovator, a disruptor, and a leader. I don't know what that means. What does it mean to be a disruptor? I'm a disruptor. I'm taking a job that pays quite well and putting it right out there. If anybody with any power in the industry listens to this podcast, I've disrupted my supply chain of payments. That's what I've disrupted. Anyway, Arnold Donald believed the company, I believe, said Donald, the company is uniquely positioned to help its customers around the world succeed in their digital transformations. And I believe the company is on a clear path to deliver increased value for shareholders. And that's why he's on the board, baby. Bottom line is, how can we make money for the shareholders by sticking it to the customer at the same time? How much can we raise the price of this software by telling them that this is what you need to transfer your digital up to your analog and up your wazoo and whatever else? All right, you know what? This has gone way too long. Just a quick note, by the way, I have to get out of here. It's a Saturday. I have laundry to do. The guru doesn't just do this. He does stand-up comedy. He goes and gets the cruise director her breakfast, and he does the laundry. I am I'm a guru butler is what I am. So if you're sailing tomorrow out of Miami, good luck, because tomorrow in Miami is the Miami Marathon. I actually thought that was just trying to get to the CVS without guy asking for money, but the Miami Marathon is tomorrow. And it starts at Baywatch or Bayside and ends at Bayside. And that's exactly where you go into. Use the tunnel, if you know what I'm talking about. If you're going on a ship tomorrow, use the tunnel to get to the port. Do not go anywhere near downtown Miami. It is going to be chaos. And tomorrow, the other thing is, from the guru standpoint, if you book a cruise out of Miami, try to get one during the week. Don't go on Saturday and Sunday. As we say in the New Jersey, my own, is it going to be busy? Because out of there tomorrow, where is it? Oh, it's not here. There's six ships, six mega mothers are sailing out of Miami tomorrow in the middle of the Miami Marathon. And, you know, be careful. And finally, I did have another story. We're way over at 21 minutes. Tom, there's nobody left. People have things to do on Saturday. They're firing up the lawnmower, rolling over and going back to sleep. I'll tell you this story on Monday. It has to do with Biofel. I haven't had the siren in a while. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks for making this podcast more popular. I know more and more people are, they're just, as one person said, it's addicting. I don't know what that means, really. Man, pass me the straw. Oh, now it's a different kind of addicting. Have a good Saturday. I'll talk to you Monday, and I don't know where the hell I'll be, but I don't know where I am right now. See you Monday. Talk to you Monday. You won't see me. It's a podcast. Moron.